Hello, everyone. Welcome to Heart to Heart. This is a wonderful day that the Lord has made, and He's doing great things in it. I thank the Lord for Him. I thank the Lord. I always thank Him for His plan. I thank Him for His strategy, the way He uses us to do great works. The prophet Daniel said that they that do know their God will do exploits. And they are mighty, they are great works of love. They are works to undo the works of darkness and bring to light the ways of God, help people understand who God is in times of turmoil. And we're living in a day, the world system is totally against the living word of God. The world system is an enemy to God. Satan, who used to be Lucifer, is the head of the world system. Now that's the anti-God ways. That's the ways of, that's what causes people to follow greed and lust and pride. That's the politician that takes bribes, and the judges that take bribes, and the preachers that compromise. Everything that's just evil, that's the world system. And the root of it is the love of money. Because the world system is comprised of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And when you have money, you have power. And you have the ability to do something beyond your means. And people compromise to get it. And they want the recognition, you know. But those that are true, they know God. They know His peace. They know what He's like. They know His living ways. And they see Him move in life. And they have no taste for the world system. They want to know Him. They are hungry for the ways of God. They love the life in His word. And they will not do their brother wrong, because they love, the way we love man is identical to how we love God. Even when people, and you know, I hate to hear people talk about, I know that there are politicians they totally disagree with, but it's not personal. You don't have to hate the person because you disagree with them. And that's why I don't like election year. I know people bash each other, and that really should not be, that's not the way to do it. But the word of God say, pray for those who are in leadership so you can live a peaceable life. Now, however they got to be the leader, you know, that's almost irrelevant. Once they're recognized as a leader, you got to pray to God to cause that person to do things that's not crazy so that you don't end up in war. And even the good leaders need your prayers. Everybody needs prayers in leadership. So talking about them doesn't do any good. You can't even enjoy watching the news because they're bashing somebody. And even the people that are wrong, God made them. You don't have to, I don't believe in bashing people. And now there are things that people have done I totally disagree with. And I prayed that God would move anyway, regardless, and do things that, you know, use them where He can. But it's important not to be in strife, because the word says so. And the only way to know God is to take Him at His word. Now, the Lord, He brought something to my attention that's very important. He is, He's coming back soon, and He has to do a work. Now, we've been talking about the anointing, anointed people, and the anointing, how the calling of God, what He'll call you to, you know, things He may call you to do, how unique it is, and how necessary it is. Once God calls a person to the ministry, He's put a lot of thought in it. And whatever He anoints you to do or be, He put a lot of thought in it. And He never does anything outside of wisdom. So whatever God gives you to do, there's wisdom in it. Now, many years ago, I forgot what year it was. It was in the early 2000s. I was on vacation. And me and my brother-in-law, we were studying the word, and I thank the Lord for him and what the Lord helped me understand. This had to be before 2005, because it was before my daughter was born. And the Lord taught me something about the calling of God. The Lord showed me, I'm going to use the same scriptures he helped me to understand these things with, and that is 1 Samuel chapter 9. That was a man, in chapter 7 and 8, Israel prayed. They wanted to be like the other nations, and they demanded a king. They prayed for a king, and the Lord warned them. He had the prophet to warn them what it would be like if they had a king. They wanted one anyway, because they wanted to be like the other nations. Now, if you want to follow God, always go back to what he did in the first place. It was really not wise for Israel to have a king, because the enemy can play with the king's mind. And it's better that God would have used the true prophets to guide his people. They had a king, but they wanted one they could see, like the other nations. You know, pride wants to be seen. They want to be recognized. That's why people have such a time following God, because you can't see God. And you have to use your faith, and you have to see everything he's doing by your faith, and you have to act on that faith. And some people have a problem with it because it doesn't make them look good. In fact, you can look very foolish doing what God gives you to do. And he knows this. I know it. I just don't care. Because I know what will happen if you obey him. The more we obey him, he'll trust us to do greater and greater things. And the actions that he sanctioned us to do is more powerful than what can be seen and known of man. So I'm not trying to impress anybody. I'm trying to do a work. I'm trying to get people saved. Now, I went to the Lord. I said, Lord, take my life and do something with it. I sold myself. I sold me. And I wasn't doing such a good job with my life, and I didn't really like my level of success at the time. And I just threw my hands. I said, Lord, take my life and do something with it. Years later, you know the story. If you heard the other website broadcast, how the Lord taught me to follow him and showed me the biggest problem in the church is his people don't follow him. And he gave me many days. He taught me all kind of revelation about following God. And I'm still talking about it. I'm still learning it. Now, when the Lord calls somebody to the ministry, it's well thought out. Now, this is so the Israelites wanted a king, and they wouldn't take no for an answer, and the Lord gave them a king. So now Samuel is going to anoint a king for Israel. Now, this is Samuel chapter 9, verse 1. Now, there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Bacharath, the son of Aphiah, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. And he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man, and a goodly. And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. Let me say something about verse 2. The word says, and there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. This, my friend, is an evaluation. And you can find them whenever God is choosing somebody to do something. Anytime you see goodlier, best, the goodliest, those are evaluation. In order for God to say that, he had to examine every individual man in Israel, actually every individual person, to say that Saul was the goodliest, or there was not a goodlier person. Now let's see what attracted the Holy Spirit to Saul. All right, verse 2, and he had this was Kish. Kish had a son whose name was Saul, choice young man and a goodly. And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. And the asses of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to Saul, his son, take now one of the servants with thee, and arise and go seek the asses. So his father's donkeys were lost, and he was going to look for them. Verse 4, and he passed through Mount Ephraim and passed through the land of Shalisha, but they found them not. Then they passed through the land of Shem, and there they were not. And he passed through the land of the Benjamites, but they found them not. And when they were come to the land of Zoph, Saul said to his servant that was with him, come and let us return, lest my father leave caring for the asses and take thought for us. And he said unto him, behold, now there is in this city a man of God, and he is an honorable man. All that he saith cometh surely to pass. Now let us go there, and peradventure he can show us our way that we should go. And then said Saul to his servant, but behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread is spent in our vessels, and there is not a present to bring to the man of God. What have we? And the servant answered Saul again and said, behold, I have here at hand the fourth part of a shekel of silver. That will I give to the man of God to tell us our way. Before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, thus he spake, come and let us go to the seer. For he that is now called a prophet was before time called a seer. Then said Saul to his servant, well said, come, let us go. So they went into the city where the man of God was. Now, Saul was very responsible. He was trying to find donkeys that belonged to his father, not him. And he took the matter all the way to the prophet Samuel to find his father's asses. Now, this shows responsibility. He would not quit until the job was done. And I noticed that everybody the Lord selects, that's if when he has a choice, he chooses the best. Every time God has a choice, he chooses the best. All right, verse 12. And they answered them and said, verse 11. And as they went up the hill to the city, they found young maidens going out to draw water and said unto them, is the seer here? And they answered them and said, he is, behold, he is before you. Make haste now, for he came today to the city, for there is a sacrifice of the people today in the high place. As soon as ye be come into the city, ye shall straightway find him before he go to the high place to eat. For the people will not eat until he come, because he doeth bless the sacrifice, and afterwards they eat that be bidden. Now therefore, get you up, for about this time ye shall find him. And they went up into the city, and when they were come into the city, behold, Samuel came out against them for to go up to the high place. Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came, saying, tomorrow about this time I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people, because their cry has come unto me. See, your prayers are very important to the Lord. He don't take them lightly, even if you want something that's not his will. But if you believe him for something that's out of his perfect will, it's going to cost you. But you can still get it. But the permissive will is nowhere near as good as the perfect will of God. I encourage people to pray for the perfect will, and then you'll live in according to his, you'll live in his full wisdom. Verse 17. And when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said unto him, behold, the man whom I spake to thee of, the same shall reign over my people. Then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, tell me, I pray thee, where is the seer's house? Tell me where the seer's house is. And Samuel answered Saul and said, I am the seer. Go up before me unto the high place, for ye shall eat with me today, and tomorrow I will let thee go, and I will tell thee all that is in thine heart. And as for thine asses, they that were lost 3 days ago, set not thy mind on them, for they are found. And on whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not on thee, and on all thy father's house? And Saul answered and said, Am not I a Benjamite, of the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my family the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Wherefore then speakest thou so to me? See, this is exactly how most ministers feel when God called them to the ministry. They're surprised. They look around to see if God is talking to somebody else. They try to figure out a way to get out of it. But once God knows what he's doing, you're going to have to trust him. You're part of a greater plan, and you have what he needs to do it. And he's going to bless you with what you don't have. Verse 22, and Samuel took Saul and his servant and brought them into the parlor and made them sit in the chiefest place among them that were bidden, which were about 30 persons. And Samuel said unto the cook, bring the portion which I gave thee, of which I said unto thee, set it by thee. And the cook took up the shoulder and that which was upon it, and set it before Saul. And Samuel said, behold, that which is left, set it before thee and eat. For unto this time hath it been kept for thee since I said, I have invited the people. So Saul did eat with Samuel that day. And when they were come down from the high place into the city, Samuel communed with Saul upon the top of the house. And they arose early, and it came to pass about the spring of the day that Samuel called Saul to the top of the house, saying, up, that I may send thee away. And Saul arose, and they went forth, and they went out, both of them, and Samuel, he and Samuel abroad. And as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, bid the servant pass on before us. And he passed on. But stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God. Now, Samuel anointed Saul. You know, this is chapter 10. Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord has anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? When thou art departed from me today, then thou shalt find two men by Rachel's sepulchre in the border of Benjamin at Zelzah. And they will say unto thee, the asses which thou wentest to seek are found, and thy father has left the care of the asses and sorroweth for you, saying, what shall I do for my son? Then shalt thou go forward from this, and shalt come to the plain of Tabor. And there shall meet thee three men going up to God to Bethel, one carrying three kids, another carrying three loaves of bread, another carrying a bottle of wine. And they will salute thee and give thee two loaves of bread, which thou shalt receive of their hands. After that, thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines. Okay, verse 5. Verse 4, and they will salute thee and give thee two loaves of bread, which thou shalt receive the hand. After that, thou shalt come unto the hill of God, where there is the garrison of the Philistines. And it shall come to pass, when thou art come there to the city, that thou shalt meet the company of prophets coming down from the high place with psaltery, and a tabret, and a pipe, and a harp before them, and they shall prophesy. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shalt be turned into another man. Now that's one thing that's going to happen when the Lord calls you to do something. He anoints you. Because of the anointing, you're like another person. And you won't know it until that anointing is activated. You'll find yourself saying things, teaching things, working miracles that you never had a clue about. And it'll surprise you. Now, Saul was anointed. When Samuel poured the vial of oil on his head, it represented the Lord anointing him to be king. Remember, Samuel was not trained to be a king. He was anointed to be a king. We are not trained to be a preacher. We are anointed to preach. We are anointed to heal. We're not doctors. Whatever God anoints you to do, if he anoints you to teach, you can teach like him, because without anointing, you have his ability. That's his ability extended to you, sanctioned to perform and finish a specific work. And he anoints people who are mature. Some people are smart, and if they were mature, the Lord would probably anoint them. But you have to be mature in the Lord. You can't be foolish. If you are foolish in some ways and the Lord anoints you, you're wise enough to begin a process that's going to go forward. And you have to reject being foolish. When things are not working in my life, I ask the Lord why. Because if I don't do something about it, the problems that linger in my life will linger in the lives of those who look to me. We're supposed to be looking to Jesus, but people don't do that. Remember, when you minister, they don't do everything like they should. They receive the word of God, and whatever you're doing is good as God. If you're continually late, I used to run late all the time because I was so tired and so busy and had so much. I didn't plan well, and I couldn't stop. I had a problem with being late. And I asked the Lord to help me with that problem. And because it's not all right. And imagine a pastor always running late. The congregation will run late. I've seen things like that happen. You know, pastors that are lazy and don't want to work. The congregation don't either. Because they're looking, they see things just like children. People are no different. They're just older children. Whatever the parents do, that's what they just accept it as normal. So when you're anointed, you want to do everything according to the word of God as much as possible so people can see Jesus and do what he's doing. Now, to make the difference of wherever I lack, I tell people, you got to look to Jesus. You can't look at me. I'm just a mechanic, a man that loves God, that happened to be anointed by God to do what I'm doing. But you got to take the word that he gave me and take it further. You can't live like the people you look to, whether it's me or somebody else. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's the standard. So, continuing. So Saul, all these things happen in Saul's life. Samuel gave him instructions by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Now, these same standards apply to you. Samuel said, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shall be turned into another man. And let it be when these signs are come unto thee, that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. This is yielding. Now, I'm going to clarify something. You know your father's voice, a strange voice is not God's voice. So you can tell when you're being lied to, especially if you take time to study the word of God, like a mature person would do. With the anointing, he's talking about yielding in verse 7. He said, let it be when signs are come unto thee, that thou doest occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. Yield to the Holy Spirit. Yield to the when the anointing is on you to do something, flow with it. It's a gentle urge. It's the light of God's way. You can feel the life in your heart, and you have a peace about what he gives you to do. And it'll make so much sense. You know it's not of your own mind. I know it because I'm anointed, and God, I have to flow with him. And I look to him, and he works through me. And because I don't want to contaminate the work of God with my own thoughts. Verse 8, and thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings and sacrifice sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days shalt thou tarry till I come to thee and show thee what thou shalt do. And so Samuel gave him instructions. Verse 9, and it was so when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart, and all those signs came to pass that day. And when they came there to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. And it came to pass, when all knew him before time saw that, behold, he prophesied among the prophets. Then the people said one to another, what is this that is come unto Saul, the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets? And one of the same place answered and said, but who is their father? Therefore it became a proverb, is Saul also among the prophets? And when he had made an end of prophesying, he came to the high place. And Saul's uncle said unto him and to his servant, whither went ye? And he said, to seek the asses. And when he saw that they were nowhere, we came to Samuel. And Saul's uncle said, tell me, I pray thee, what Samuel said to you. And Saul said to his uncle, he told us plainly that the asses were found, but of the matter of the kingdom whereof Samuel spake, we told him not. Samuel called the people together unto the Lord in Mizpah, and said unto the children of Israel, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought up Israel out of Egypt, delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of the kingdoms of all them of them that oppress you. And ye have this day rejected your God, who himself saved you out of all your adversities and your tribulations. And ye have said unto him, nay, but set a king over us. Now therefore present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your thousands. And when Samuel had caused all the tribes of Israel to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was taken. And when he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families, the family of Matri was taken, and Saul the son of Kish was taken. And when they sought him, he could not be found. Therefore they inquired of the Lord further, if the man should yet come thither. And the Lord answered, behold, he hath hid himself among the stuff. And they ran and fetched him thence. And when he stood among the people, he was higher than any other people from his shoulders and upward. And Samuel said to all the people, see ye him whom the Lord has chosen, that there is none like him among all the people. And all the people shouted and said, God save the king. And Samuel told the people the manner of the kingdom and wrote it in a book and laid it up before the Lord. And Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his house. And Saul went home to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. But the children of Belial said, how shall this man save us? And they despised him and brought him no presents, but he held his peace. Now, Saul's anointed, and he did some great works because God anointed him to be king. He made good judgment calls. But in later chapters, 14, 15, Saul was supposed to kill all the Amalekites and didn't do it. And he ended up getting fired. God said he was going to raise up another king, a neighbor of his that's better than him. Now, this was the thing that the Lord taught me. I know the story of Saul because I study it, you know, and studied the all studied from chapter 10 all the way to God anointed David and after David slew Goliath. We're going to cover these things and some of these things in the next few webcasts, because the Lord wants you to know something. Just because a person is anointed and they do good works and they do what they should do, Saul turned, and the Lord knew that he would turn before he called him. And that was my question. I said, Lord, you knew that he would do wrong, even though at the time you anointed him, because you know all things. You knew what he would do. And the Lord answered me. He said he was responsible. He did everything. It was wise for God to make him king. He couldn't judge him against what he would do or may do because he hadn't done it yet. And we're going to talk about this again because we're about out of time. But Saul walked in wisdom all this time until he got in fear and turned. We'll cover that later. And the Lord knew he would do it. But he called him anyway because he didn't have to do that. And the Lord couldn't. He promoted him because he had done everything wise up to that point. He had done what he should have done. He had the ability to continue doing what was right. If you do what's right for, if you're mature, you're living a mature life, you're living a wise life, and the Lord anoints you, it was God's wisdom to anoint you. But if another year from now you turn and start acting like the devil, that's not God's fault. You, as you operate in the anointing, you have more wisdom to work with. It's up to you to continue. He doesn't make people continue. And you have a free will. Now, to turn from the wisdom of God is not right. But God will promote you until you do. Now, we're going to deal with these things on the next web broadcast. I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to teach you. Till next time, remember, I love you, God loves you, and Jesus is our Lord.